You're listening to His Glory Lives broadcast to tell you Jesus Christ is alive and His glory lives in the believer. We're dedicated to the study of the Word of God and promoting the gospel. Good morning. Today we're studying Romans chapter 13. We have three subjects to study today: lawful authority, love for our brethren, sobriety, and godliness in ourselves. Chapter 13 instructs us as to how we're supposed to conduct ourselves toward the government. Now, this is probably a touchy subject to many, but we're to pay our taxes. Our taxes pay for roads and helps pay for our civilization. In our democracy, we have a balanced system of checks and balances. Now, that's not to say that corruption is not in our government, because we all know there's some corruption in our government. But hopefully our news agencies will be able to smoke those out. We have a duty to our government to be good citizens, to participate as much as possible in electing good leaders in the school systems and in the public offices. We need honest people in control. The Old Testament tells us that it's a curse when the wicked rule. And when the wicked rule, the people suffer. So we know that some of this corruption that is in our government, in our schools, and in society as a whole is because the morals of our country have fallen so low. Why has this happened? Failures in several areas. In the home, the traditional family unit has broken down. Sometimes spiritual leaders have let us down. They've not given us a foundation of Jesus Christ, and in turn, that's caused failure in morality. The church and the family have traditionally been the leaders of morality, but that is not so today. Morality cannot be legislated through political means. There is no way to tell someone how to live by the laws on the books. Even if morals could be legislated, it would require higher power to enable a person to live overcoming lives and obey those laws. That higher power is only found in Jesus Christ. We are also in the last days, and wickedness is prevailing in this world, as the scriptures have told us that it would. Even Jesus asked the question, "Will I find faith upon the earth when I return?" In the last days, Jesus told us the earth will be filled with violence, just as it was in the days of Noah. He also said it would be filled with perversion, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And at no time in history have these two events occurred except in our day. Today we see that very unique condition in this world. The earth is filled with violence and perversion at the same time, and our media is feeding it. Also, our children are under attack. Times are not like when I grew up. As children, we played on the sidewalks, in the streets, and there was always a baseball game going on in the vacant lot. Neighborhood children did things together, and there was a bond between them. I still stay in touch with some childhood friends. Now children are in danger if they go outside from predators. They stay inside watching TV or they're on the internet. Children are isolated from each other. When my children were at home, we would go to the YMCA as a family. But nowadays in small towns, there are no activities for the children and the young people to do. Also, in the school system, the children are being overloaded with homework and duties that the schools require to improve the test scores. There's more pressure put upon the children to improve. Chaotic family life, peer pressure. They're getting pressure from the wicked who are trying to pull them into all kinds of evil things. Our children are in peril today, and I think it's a sign of the times that we are living in. It's also another curse upon a nation that forgets God. We as parents and grandparents need to wake up to see that our children are taken care of. We can do community work and help others, but if we neglect our own families, I believe we will have to reap the rewards of it. We need to put our emphasis on our children and our family, but that means that we have to first get ourselves right with God then, doesn't it? We can't be so busy trying to get ourselves straightened out that we don't have time for our children or anyone else for that matter. That is the kind of circumstances we find ourselves in. We need God to help us. We can't solve all the problems of society. We can't be all in all to everyone, but we can put out one fire at a time and try to give love where we can. Love covers a multitude of sins, and love will make hope alive where there is no hope. Love will help us overcome the trials of this life. Love of God, our families, others, and country, in that order, is called for. I know that love is going to sustain us and the Lord's going to help us. Now we are to obey the higher powers of the land and the laws of the land because they're there for our good. But there are some laws on the books that are not good. The laws change to match society's morals. And so the values go down and the evil laws are passed. So that means we may be obeying the law of the land, but not obeying the law of God, as in the case of abortion. We can't just say that if one obeys the laws of the land, that they're obeying Christ. It's not necessarily so. The Lord wants us to obey the laws of the land, and He wants us to obey His laws. The Christian way is to be honest, forthright, and upstanding. He tells us, let every soul, whether Christian or non-Christian, be subject to the higher power. We know that the higher power has authority in this land, and if we do not subject ourselves to this power, then they will come after us. The same is true about Christian stewardship. The Lord has requirements too. He wants us to obey Him, and there will be consequences if we don't. Now this chapter says that we are to obey for wrath's sake. The wrath of the judge or the wrath of the policeman or the wrath of the higher power will come and get us if we resist this authority. There is authority that is not to be resisted, and that is the authority of the land or the authority of the boss at work, or the mother, or the father, or whoever has the authority over us. We are to obey them as unto the Lord. But if they are asking us to do something that is against God's law, then we have to draw the line in the sand because God's law takes precedent over man's law in every case. We have a duty not to obey man's law if it's against God's law. He said these higher powers are ministers of God and they bear the sword. We know the authority of the land bears the sword. They carry the weight of the law. It is not the sword of war, but it is supposed to be the sword of justice. I am glad that we have good judges, democracy, but it is only as good as the people are. These people in authority are there to execute wrath upon those who do evil. Now, what is the wrath that they execute? Well, if a man kills someone and he's sentenced to death, it will take 25 years before he's executed. He's supposed to receive swift justice, but we see that the laws on the books and the mercies of our magistrates is great, And sometimes I don't think that's a bad thing, but sometimes I think it is a bad thing, because there's no fear of the legal system by criminals, because they know that justice will be delayed. And when the judges were corrupted in the Old Testament, judgment came upon the people. That is one of the final things that happened in the land of Israel just before they were exiled into all the world. The Lord was patient with them when they worshiped idols. He was patient with them when they had corrupt priests and they fell away from Him in the temple. He withheld His judgment. But when the judges started to declare the innocent guilty and let the guilty go free, then judgment came upon the land. The Lord told them the reason why the judgment came was because the judges were corrupt. And we know in World War II, that was one of the marks of Hitler and his judges, was that they declared innocent guilty. We see this same thing happening in our nation today. The judges are not judging righteous judgments. And when they start being this corrupt, then get ready, the judgment of God will fall upon this land. So I pray for our judges, that they will judge what is right according to the Word of God. We pray that God will give them the discernment to know what the Lord wants them to do. These ministers of God, the judges, the rulers of our nation, the politicians, the leaders of our cities, our government, our schools, or any leadership role, they are there to do us good. They are not in there to promote their own kingdom. They're in there to execute God's laws, but many have corrupted themselves. Verse 3 says rulers are a terror. Hopefully we have good rulers and we have good people in authority. But if we don't have, we are supposed to speak up when we can. We're supposed to stand up where we can and obey where we can. But if it's outside the law of God, we have no duty to obey them. Verse 4 tells us those put in authority over us are called God's ministers. He even puts these rulers in the same light as ministers of the church. They have this authority from God. They are God's ministers. We never thought the IRS agent was God's minister, but they are according to this scripture. They're God's minister to enforce the laws of the land. God has placed all of us in the position that we are in, at work, at church, and in the home. He's placed us there. Scripture says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. He is testing us with the authority that He's given to us. Are we given this authority to abuse it, or are we given the authority to help others and to further the kingdom of God? It should be to further His kingdom. Those rulers that rule unjustly will have to answer to God. You know, some of those that are in authority don't think they will have to answer for some of the things they do. Sometimes power totally corrupts. God will take vengeance for this, and we are not to take vengeance, as we studied last week. Leaders wouldn't be in leadership roles if God hadn't wanted them to be there. He places rulers to bring order to His nations, so that the nations will not be in chaos or starve to death because we have no cooperation to plant crops and harvest and bring food to the people. He wants roads to take the food to the people, utilities, libraries, and buildings for the people to live. That is God's will. That's what He wants. But a country that's more concerned with the casino than with the library is not fulfilling what the Lord wants done with the money. The scripture says that in the last days, they will be lovers of themselves and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. The Christians that founded this nation cared about the people. And when they received wealth, what did they do? They built universities. They built the libraries, museums, and things for society. God is concerned about the well-being of the nations. As we know in the Old Testament, He chose Israel to be the nation that He would speak to all the world through. He was concerned about the nation of Israel. He wanted the people to have good laws and good judges. He says we're supposed to pay our dues, meaning what is due. We are to pay tribute or custom, which means taxes. We are to give respect, give fear to whom fear is due, honor to whom honor is due. Our duty is that we don't owe taxes and to obey those over us in the Lord. We're to honor our father and our mother. Where there is not this respect in our heart to our superiors, no other duty will be paid right. We are to pay our debts, owe no man anything. That is a hard saying in this day because it takes so much to live. We are to, as much as possible, owe no man anything. We are to love one another, and that's the greatest debt, and it's a debt that can never be paid for. He says we are to be in debt, but not with money, but with love. Love is a debt. It's a debt that we owe to our fellow man, and love is the fulfilling of the law. If the love is sincere, then it fulfills the law, because God is love. In this chapter, he specifies the last five of the Ten Commandments, which he sums up to be, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So where there's no restraint in human laws in these things, then the laws of love would come into play. And so, love yourselves, love others, help yourself, and help others. That's what the Lord wants us to do, to love our neighbor as ourselves. There are those who love their neighbor and neglect themselves. I have known certain people who did things for everyone else but their own. They would take meals to their neighbor and let their own children find whatever they could find in their kitchen to eat. Now, why would a person do that? Why would a person cook a meal and take it to the neighbor who's not expecting them to do that and who is really not in that much of a need and not provide for their own children? Now, some may be in need, but to take the meal to their neighbor and then their own children is having to eat junk food or whatever they can find is not using wisdom. The only reason that I can think of as to why a person would do this is because they want the praise of the neighbor, or they consider that it's a good deed. Let us look at who we are helping and who has the most need. Let's put our efforts to our family first, and then to those in most need, regardless of the praise we receive. Love doesn't look for praise, but looks for need in helping where we can help to bring peace and harmony. We are trying to bring up the quality of life so that we can all prosper and be in good health and serve God, but charity begins at home. He says for us not to work ill to others. Now this scripture amazes me. It says, "Worketh no ill to his neighbor." There are people who actually work very hard and go to great lengths to do evil. They put themselves out to do harm to others. The story is told of the thief who wanted to rob a home while the owners were gone. He had the bright idea to go down the chimney to steal the man's goods. And he was halfway down the chimney and got stuck and couldn't get out. And when the people came home, they could hear him screaming for help. If he had spent as much time on a job, working, as he spent working trying to steal the man's goods, he would have at least received a paycheck. Sometimes evil requires a lot of hard work. Love not only worketh no ill, but it works all the good that it can. Love is a living, active principle of obedience to the whole law. The whole law is written in the heart if the law of love is there. We know that love will give us a right standing with our fellow man. Verse 11 through 14, we are taught here a lesson of sobriety, meaning we are to be sober, we are to be diligent, and we are to have godliness in ourselves. There are four things that are mentioned here. To wake up and know the time that the Lord is coming. To know what kind of age that we are living in. And to realize that our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. To look and to see that the night is far spent and the day of the Lord is at hand. The day of the Lord mentioned here is the day of judgment, when judgment will be poured out upon the earth. That day is so at hand, not just for America, but for the whole world. He also tells us that we are to put on the armor of light and the Lord Jesus. He is telling us not to live in riotous living and drunkenness, to cast off sinful works of darkness. He says we're to put off our night clothes. We are to put on holiness and the righteousness of Christ that we have talked so much about. We know that we are in perilous times, in the middle of enemies and snares in this world. This world is not our home, we're only passing through. The Lord has given us scripture to let us know that it's high time that we awake and know that the Lord is coming. He wants us to be clothed with the righteousness of Christ, to be armed with the Word of God. Ephesians 6 says to put on the whole armor of God, to take the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. We are to have our feet shod with the preparation of peace. We are to put on the whole armor of God that we may stand in this evil day. We have to have our minds sanctified. Now, how do we do that? We have to wake up and look at ourselves and see if this is where God wants us to be. Am I thinking about the things God wants me to think about? Am I really looking at my life honestly? Is this truth or am I being deceived? So we need to look at these things. We are to examine ourselves. In one place in the scripture, he says to look in the mirror. We are to look at the issues where we are weak and to strengthen those areas so that we may overcome. The Lord will give us the strength. He has power and is above every power upon this earth. There's not any power that he can't defeat when we walk in him. We may have to stay longer on our knees, read the word, but most of all, purpose in our heart to serve him. Make up our mind that Jesus is the way we want to walk and that we want to walk in the light and he will help us in all these things. But we're to resist strife, envy, and rioting and drunkenness. We know these things are not right. We know right from wrong. So we are to strive to be about the Father's business and do what he wants us to do. We're not to make any provision for the flesh. There's no room for the old human nature and to have the wrath and evil things in our mind and heart. We have no room there because the Lord is occupying our minds. We have to have the mind of Christ, and you know what that mind is. It's in the fruit of the Spirit, peace, love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, temperance, meekness, and against these things there is no law. Ephesians 5 and 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So if we walk in the fruit of the Spirit, which is Christ, then we will fulfill all that he wants us to do, and we'll rise above the evil tendencies in the human nature. He will give us a better life. Now let's read Romans 13 in the New Living Translation. Respect for authority. Obey the government, for God is the one who put it there. All governments have been placed in power by God. So those who refuse to obey the laws of the land are refusing to obey God, and punishment will follow. For the authorities do not frighten people who are doing right, but they frighten those who do wrong. So do what they say and you will get along well. The authorities are sent by God to help you. But if you're doing something wrong, of course you should be afraid, for you will be punished. The authorities are established by God for that very purpose, to punish those who do wrong. So you must obey the government for two reasons, to keep from being punished and to keep a clear conscience. Pay your taxes, too, for these same reasons. For government workers need to be paid so they can keep on doing the work God intended them to do. Give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and import duties, and give respect and honor to all to whom it is due. Love fulfills God's requirements. Pay all your debts except the debt of love for others. You can never finish paying that. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill all the requirements of God's law. For the commandments against adultery and murder and stealing and coveting and any other commandments are all summed up in this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to anyone, so love satisfies all of God's requirements. Another reason for right living is that you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for the coming of our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So don't live in darkness. Get rid of your evil deeds. Shed them like dirty clothes. Clothe yourself with the armor of right living as those who live in the light. We should be decent and true in everything we do, so that everyone can approve of our behavior. Don't participate in wild parties and getting drunk, or in adultery and immoral living, or in fighting and jealousy. But let the Lord Jesus Christ take control of you, and don't think of ways to indulge your evil desires. Please pray this prayer with me. Father, we're so thankful for your word. We're thankful for the instruction that you have given us. And we know that this instruction leads us to life. We know the night is far spent and you are soon coming. Help us to be ready, Lord, and be clothed with the righteousness that you want us to have, because it gives us life, and you want us to have life and life abundant. We pray, Father, that you would bless all the hearers, that you would draw us near unto you. Forgive our sins, and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we thank you for being with us today. And if you don't have a church home, we wish to invite you to All Seasons Worship Center on Highway 35 South in Forest, Mississippi. You can listen to this broadcast again at www.secondredemption.com. That is www.2ndredemption.com. Tune in next Sunday at this same time. You can support this broadcast with your prayers and telling others about the program. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you in the reading of His Word.